Whether I'm worried about hosting or just giving that perfect gift, creating a delicious holiday for my loved ones is super important to me. From effortless holiday hostings to unforgettable gifts, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. They've always been super convenient in giving me the most high-quality steaks I could ask for, whether for myself or a loved one. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, and for an extra $35 off, use code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Tito's Handmade Vodka is America's favorite vodka for a reason. From the first legal distillery in Texas, Tito's is six times distilled till it's just right. And naturally gluten-free, making it a high-quality spirit that mixes with just about anything. From the smoothest martinis to the best Bloody Marys. Tito's is known for giving back, teaming up with nonprofits to serve its communities and do good for dogs. Make your next cocktail with Tito's. Distilled and bottled by Fifth Generation Inc., Austin, Texas. 40% alcohol by volume. Savor responsibly.
W-T-L.
It's
time!
W-T-L.
I think we got a show.
Oh yeah, we got a show.
W-T-L.
And welcome back, everybody, to W-T-L. Where's the Line? Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm your host, Andy Kless, and joined by
Jabron,
the Parlay Pounder.
You got it. We're back.
And we are back in a big way.
Yeah.
You see, we got the Nebraska Brewing Company 12-pack boxer.
No doubt. The beer box.
Has their four best flavors, our top flavors, their series, and you get three cans of each flavor. So
drink Indy.
You know, drink Indy, and also, you know, you get all your different friends over.
Yep.
And, I want a Pils.
I want a Cardinal. I want a Pils. I want an IPA. They cover it all.
There you go. You take care of it right there.
You took care of everything with this beer box.
And that dovetails into, well, why are you going to have people over to watch football?
To watch football.
NFL football is back. We got preseason games. We got a full slate of preseason games that we're going to be getting to here. And also, before I forget, congratulations goes out to a group that we really like and we've worked with before, Warhorse Casino.
Yeah.
Just opened up a grand opening in Omaha. They are now the largest casino in the state of Nebraska.
Woohoo.
And I'll tell you what, that sports book's pretty cool.
Heck yeah.
It's a pretty nice sports book, and it's only going to get bigger and better from what I hear.
It's awesome.
But for the starting point, to just you start as the biggest and best.
That's pretty good.
It is pretty good.
Yeah.
So if you're in Omaha or Lincoln, only more and more things are coming your way. And I also think Grand Island, Columbus, all these places are getting bigger and better.
No doubt. It's going to be full-blown here in a little bit, and it's pretty awesome to see.
It really is. So with that, should we get into this NFL preseason?
Let's do it.
Your Carolina Panthers are heading on up to New England to take on the Patriots, and the Patriots are just, they're right there, almost a full touchdown favorite.
Yeah.
6.5 points, -112 is your VIG. I think I'm over on DK right now. DK, yep, that's where I'm at. That's where I'm getting this line. Over under, sitting there at 33.5. Everything kind of makes sense. Word came out earlier on Wednesday that Bryce Young will not suit up.
Correct.
And I don't think he should.
Yeah.
He has enough time during the regular season to get hurt.
Yeah, no doubt. Don't get him hurt the first game. But, this is kind of interesting to me, Andy, just the line. I think it's because in New England they actually have a quarterback battle happening right now for the team.
Yeah.
Heading into the first game, Jacoby Brissett is on top of the depth chart over there. But their guy, Drake May, that they just drafted, is right there behind him. Should get plenty of run in this game. And I think that's where this line is coming from, is that they're going to have him, seeing what he can do in a live action setting. So, and they got guys like Joe Milton III and Bailey Zappi both have had a little time in that Patriots system. So I think that's the reason that they have the line there. I don't necessarily think it's going to be like that, Andy.
Really?
I think this is a really good chance to take the points. Give me that underdog with the Panthers. I think it's way too many points. The Patriots already know what they're getting with Brissett. I don't trust Drake May to have a big game here, and that is going to be the difference. The Panthers might not run up the score, but I think they're going to score enough to cover the spread and maybe get that win outright.
Yeah.
So I'm backing the Panthers against the spread.
Well, I like New England,
and
it does have to do with exactly the point you brought up there, the competition at quarterback, Zappe and Milton III. It may come down to those two because they're probably not going to carry four quarterbacks on that roster. So two of those guys are going to have to battle it out. And you don't know, they might be out of the game, and that whole fourth quarter might go to Drake May.
Yeah.
And Drake May, you know, that's a coin flip, right? He might make rookie mistakes or he might be really pushing it. But I do like the competition. And whether you go back to Bill Belichick for 2,500 years or whatever, he was at the helm there.
Yeah.
They were very aggressive in their play calling and competitiveness when it came to the preseason. Everyone kind of gave the Patriots a bad time about why you win all these preseason games. They don't matter. Well, then look at their regular season record. Maybe there is something to that.
That's,
I don't know.
That is what I'm looking towards, Andy. The Patriots offense averaged 13 points last year.
Go.
That's what I'm looking at.
Okay.
But and they're in. You know, this could go either way, Andy. These are preseason games, whatever. They're going to be flip-flopping quarterbacks. But the Panthers do have Andy Dalton there and Jack Plummer.
Sure.
I think both formidable guys. Raheem Blackshear should be the starting running back for the Panthers in this game and get a lot of the carries. I like him. So I just think it's too many points for a New England team that I don't believe is going to score more than two touchdowns.
So you got to like the under here, right? 33.5?
I mean, would say the under's probably pretty safe.
You're saying graciously your road team's not going to run up the score on the Patriots and they're only going to score 13 points, so easy cover on the under.
I believe that under should be pretty good.
All right, should we move to Friday night?
Let's do it. Let's go to another quarterback controversy.
Well, maybe for one side. I don't know. The Atlanta Falcons are heading down to Miami, where the Dolphins are a home dog. 2.5 points there, just under a field goal. Your Falcons, I don't think you're going to see much of Kirk Cousins here.
Kirko Chains is on the bench.
Kirko Chains ain't going to see anything here. They took a game away, what was that, 2 years ago? They have to play some of these guys.
Yeah.
They have to play some of these guys. Kirko Chains is a different story there.
Yeah, no.
But you're still seeing the Falcons as a 2.5, 3-point favorite.
Well, and I think that is a lot, just like we said in the last game, is I think they're going to play their new shiny toy as much as they can. You know,
they have to.
Their Washington draft pick, God dang it, I can't remember his name now. Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah.
Yes, I believe they're going to play him a lot. But I think I'm going the underdog again. Andy, I'm going to lean towards the Dolphins at home here.
Well, these are the home team.
Preseason games have always been, you know, like you said, dice roll or whatever. But Miami, I believe, has plenty of depth experience on the roster this year.
Mm-hmm.
Many pundits are picking the Dolphins to be one of the best teams in the league. And if the offense can stay healthy, they'll thrive. Defensively, Miami is pretty average, you know, just across the board. But they won't need to be dominant in offense, you know, hanging on to, you know.
Tariq Hill is not going to see much time.
No. But they're getting 2.5 points, and, you know, I don't know what I'm going to see out of Atlanta.
New offensive coordinator, right? Zach Robinson,
exactly.
New wideouts, Darnell Mooney, Ray McCloud, and Rondell Moore. Like, these aren't household names anyway.
No, they're not. They're fast guys for sure. But, I just believe that Miami probably going to try and make a little bit of a statement at home and push ball down the field. That's their offense anyway, so even the backups are going to try and do that, even if they don't have Tua and Tyreek out there.
That total sitting there at 38.5, a number that we're kind of used to seeing during the regular season, so you're going to see more points, and that's how Miami's been piling up the points for all the things. They're a fun team, and they're a fun team to draft. You know, when you're doing the
fantasy
football, it's always good to have a few Dolphins on your team
because
they do rack up the points. Are you looking more at that over there?
I like the over, Andy, just because, like you said, they're going to roll out Penix, try and get him on the board a couple times, and like you said, Miami's going to try and score some points no matter who's out there.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe the best bet of the game is the +2.5 for Miami, though.
Okay. Yeah, Mike McDaniel, that seems like a sneaky spot him to, you know, take a couple drags off his vape underneath his sleeve. And then a
couple trick plays.
Yep. That's just Mike McDaniel to a T there.
No doubt.
All right, should we look at another Friday night
Let's
game?
Let's end it with this one.
The Texans versus the Steelers. Man, I don't know. There's a lot of intrigue here for me.
Yeah, there is.
The Steelers are a one-point favorite at home. They got a little bit of a quarterback duel going on here.
For sure.
One guy I think you kind of want to protect, and you don't want to have him get hurt. The other guy you want to see, can he cut it in the NFL?
Yeah.
Talking about the Bears' old quarterback.
Yeah.
And Houston, word is you're going to see CJ Stroud just a little bit, maybe 11 plays, maybe five
maybe
plays.
Maybe the first drive, depending how he looks, depending how, if they get a couple first downs, all that kind of stuff. I believe if they get a first down on the first drive, that they'll pull him. But no, I love the Steelers at home here, Andy. I just think, like you said, they're going to roll Justin Fields out.
Yes.
And he is going to try to make a lot happen here, Andy. Mm. If he makes a big splash, you know that Steelers fan base is going to be like, this is our guy. This is who we should play.
Reminds me of Cordell Stewart.
Exactly. He's Slash. He's the reincarnation of Slash. But no,
buy that fool's gold.
And I just believe that Mike Tomlin really does take the preseason very, very serious.
He does.
And I try not to go against him with his intensity level. He cranks it up even in the preseason. So I think given these Steelers, especially with such a razor-thin margin, I think they'll win the game no matter what. So minus one, give me the Steelers.
Nope, you're wrong again.
No, jeez.
Texans are going to win this game because they've already played a preseason game. That was in Canton, Ohio, so it was kind of like a primer, a tune-up.
That was against a crappy team,
though. It was against a very crappy team, and Chicago Bears team.
The Bears.
You got your jab in there pretty good.
Yeah, I did.
But we saw nothing but a showcase of the reserves for the Texans. Well, who's going to play most of this game? The reserves.
They already got a game under the belt. Ahead of them.
And you're going to see a lot of shuffling, not just at quarterback, but all the positions for Pittsburgh. So even if they are taking it serious and Tomlin is doing all of these things, throwing in blitz packages, it's still with guys that have only been in camp for a couple of weeks.
No doubt.
And I just think with the Texans, talk about that offensive line being able to protect their quarterback. They got a week under their belt. I know when I played college football, there was a couple of scenarios where we played two games before someone's opener.
And we
won just out of that experience. I don't think the team we beat was better. We were better than, but we had that experience. So I'm just kind of looking at it from that Texans. Maybe that's all not going to work out just because it is the preseason and the Steelers are known for kind of getting after it.
Yeah,
in the preseason, but I just like that experience factor, and it was with the reserves who's going to play most of the game.
Yeah, no doubt, Andy. I just like the little bit of upbeat they're going to have with Fields on, a starting quarterback on the field. I believe they have high-end backup talent, in my opinion, and there's a lot more in terms of position battles on the Pittsburgh side. So that's kind of what I'm looking for. Okay. I think we have both good points here, and obviously the bookmakers think it's pretty dang close as well. So you're on Pittsburgh, I'm on Pittsburgh, you're on Houston, and that's the way we're going to end it.
What about that total, 37.5?
Yeah, I think that's pretty good over there, Andy. I think, like you said, two pretty good offenses right here. Yeah. And I believe the over is probably the play there.
You know, say what you want about Russell Wilson. He did start getting things going, clicking in Denver before they pulled him last year. So that might have been a sneaky pickup for Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
We'll just wait and see.
You got to wait and see. And like you said, they got a full-fledged starter, and then they got a guy that started before in the league and had some success behind him. So I think they put themselves in a pretty good position under Mike Tomlin.
They usually do.
Yep.
Well, you heard the horn. That means we're up against it. But let's recognize one of our fabulous partners, and we already talked about him a little bit at the open. That is the Nebraska Brewing Company. We are being brought to you by The Beer Box.
The Beer Box.
A 12-pack box of beer that features their four different styles of beer, and they're all their core series beers.
Yes.
So you got a Hefeweizen in there, you got an IPA in there, you got a Pilsner. What else you got?
And the Cardinal.
And you got the Pale Ale, the Cardinal.
Yep.
Everybody's favorite, it seems.
Four styles, three each.
There you go. Nebraska Brewing Company, world class in every glass. Don't go anywhere. This is WTL. And welcome back, everybody, to WTL. You know what that stands for. Where's the Line? Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm your host, and D. Klassen, joined by
Jabron.
Oh, the Parlay Pounder.
You got it. We're back.
Mm-hmm. And we had a lot of fun talking some NFL football, be it it's preseason, but we're still talking football. We are back
football.
Yes, sir. So I think we should just stay right there.
Let's stay there for another three games.
The NFL's given us a full slate of games to talk about, so let's get into it.
Let's do it.
And I think we're right at home talking about the Las Vegas Raiders.
Raiders.
The Raiders. having the Minnesota Vikings come to town.
Ooh.
And the Vikings are a 3.5-point dog, and excuse me, the game is in Minneapolis.
Yes, it is. Yes. It's at U.S. Bank Stadium, Andy. And it's pretty crazy. I believe that the Raiders are favored here by 3.5 points with the Vikings being at home. But I think that's kind of just a shot at J.J. McCarthy. I just believe that's just
taking shots at him now.
I just believe it's a straight shot at their rookie quarterback because I believe the Vikings have a better, top to bottom roster. Yeah,
they do.
And the backup quarterbacks are Jaren Hall and Sam Darnold. Mm-hmm. Serviceable guys that are going to get a lot of time in this game, obviously.
Sure.
So I just believe the Vikings are the outright play here at home, Andy. Mm-hmm. And you're getting a plus 170 money line. I believe that probably is the best bet here. A lot of people are saying the Raiders just because they have some tough decisions to make before the season. So there's going to be a lot of, controversy on, this guy or that guy. So a lot of their stars are going to be playing. But, I mean, they know that Gardner Minshew is the starter, I believe. I don't believe Aiden O'Connell is really.
It's got to be Minshew, right?
I don't believe Aiden O'Connell is really truly in a battle for that starting quarterback job. Yeah. I believe they brought Gardner Minshew in for a reason after the Jimmy Garoppolo experience didn't work out. And the Raiders cut ties with Josh Jacobs. So it's Zamir White and then whoever's left. So I just believe the Vikings are a lot better team here. This rookie quarterback, they're going to try getting him going. And then you got Sam Darnold coming in to pick up the pieces if that doesn't work out.
Yeah, and Darnold probably will get a lot of playing time, more than what he probably envisioned when he got drafted. What was it, number one or two overall?
For sure.
But give the Raiders their due. They do have a couple of really bright stars.
No doubt.
Davante Adams, right?
Yep.
And Max, that defensive
Max
end.
Max Crosby.
I mean, he's a monster.
One of the best players in the league. Top 10 for sure.
Yeah, exactly. So, but once again, we're talking about the first
preseason
game.
No Davante, no Max Crosby.
Yeah, exactly.
None of that.
And they were already so thin.
And no Justin Jefferson, obviously, on the Vikings side. Not only are the Raiders guys not playing, but, you're going to see some of those people playing just to get that rapport with J.J. McCarthy. Mm-hmm. They need to have these games with these rookie quarterbacks to make sure that they got timing right and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I believe a lot more of the starters on the Minnesota side are going to start other than the Las Vegas side.
Yeah, the Vikings projected starter probably will get quite a few more snaps than the Raiders projected starter, that's for sure. And they're at home. It's tough to have faith in the Raiders even in the preseason.
No doubt.
Let alone the postseason.
No, give me that money line for the Minnesota Vikings.
All righty. Should we move on down the line here?
Let's do it.
I think you wanted to talk about the Packers,
the
didn't you?
The Green Bay Packers.
Oh, my God. And who do we got here? They got
the Cleveland Browns coming to town.
And it's at Cleveland. And Cleveland is a 2.5-point favorite at home. You got that over-under sitting squarely on 39.5. You got the hook just a shade under 40.
Yeah.
I think if you don't know any better, you're betting the Packers. But they got to protect the quarterback now, just signing to Jordan Love to a $220 million dollars.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to put him out there in harm's way too much.
Yeah, they might start him for a few plays, kind of like C.J. Stroud, maybe get his feet under him, see how he does in the first drive. But Sean Clifford, Michael Pratt, and Jacob Eason will see a majority of the work, Andy, for them.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the Cleveland Browns here, Andy. I really do. -2.5. I believe it's a very good line. Deshaun Watson may get a few snaps because he
needs them.
A little ring rust and all that kind of stuff. But they got the better talented backups. They got Jameis Winston mm-hmm. sitting there behind, you know, a starting quarterback in this league for a long, long time. Yeah. Tyler Huntley and Dorian Thompson-Robinson will carry most of the load. So I just believe they have the better quarterback, and when it comes down to these games, that's usually what happens. Mm. So I'm taking Cleveland in this game. I believe they might win by a touchdown or more.
Yeah, Matt LaFleur did head coach of Green Bay did confirm that Jordan Love will play, but then he was really tight-lipped about how long he'll play, which I don't want to put him out there and get him hurt either.
No, of course not.
But you make a great point there in that the reserves for Cleveland at that quarterback spot, just a little bit deeper, a little bit more experience, so that does give you a good reason why you'd want to go with the home team here in the Cleveland Browns.
The Green Bay backups are just a little raw right now. I just love those guys that have seen action. And obviously, Jameis Winston is the biggest factor in that thing.
With that, and Jameis, when he gets on a roll, man, he can pile up the touchdowns. Even when his coach doesn't call for a touchdown play, he still will run it himself.
Yeah, he'll score no matter what. He doesn't care what they're saying. Yeah,
30. He's a fun guy.
He's a character, and in some of these games, he'll do something a little wacky. So yeah,
but
go Jamo.
What I'm getting at, do you think that over under is safe at 39.5?
Obviously. It's up there for a reason, Andy, and I think it's just because of that they think the Browns might pile on here, and I could see it happening, but that's way too high for me to even, you know, take a dart at, so I'm just going to sidestep that. If I had to get on it, it would be the under, but I'm just going to stay away from it because so much crazy stuff could happen in this, but Browns by 2.5 for sure.
Yeah, the over is a little bit juicier at a -112,
exactly.
But yeah, it's pretty much right there. Mm-hmm. All righty, do we want to wrap it up?
Let's do it. With the last game of the week.
Sunday afternoon,
3:30
kickoff. We are going out to SoFi Stadium.
Yeah.
The Los Angeles Rams are back in L.A. now, taking on the Dallas Cowboys and the boys.
The boys.
Dogs, big time, 4.5 points.
The Cowboys are favored by four and a half.
They are favored by 4.5, yes.
Yep, and with good reason, Andy. We're just talking about quarterbacks, and the Cowboys do, other than Dak Prescott, they do have Cooper Rush, who has had a lot of experience in the league.
Success, too, as a starter.
And a big time guy coming into the draft, just like Sam Darnold, Trey Lance, under center for this game as well, which need to have positive signs to stay on a roster. Mm-hmm. So I really like the Cowboys in this. I believe that the 4 is good, 4.5. Probably good, but the best bet of this game, Andy, I believe, is the over at 35.5. I just like the Rams don't have great options at quarterback for this game, in my opinion, but I think Stenson Bennett will be able to create some plays with his feet. You saw that at Georgia a whole bunch, but I think both teams will be able to scrape together a few scoring drives, so I just believe that the over is going to hit in this game. That's one of my best bets of the weekend is 35.5 over for this game.
You know, the boys have a lot of headliners.
Yeah.
You know, Gallup, you're talking about CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Cooks. But are we going to see these guys enough to make much of a difference? I don't think so.
Probably not, Andy. And that's what I'm saying is it's going to come down to quarterback play out of Trey Lance and Cooper Rush, which I believe that they're going to have, you know, a good enough, you know, I think this is low enough that both sides are going to contribute to this, and 35.5 is very attainable.
You know, the Trey Lance deal reminded me of my Oakland Athletics when they just need to get rid of a guy. You're like, wow, this is a tough contract. We'll pay you to take him
to leave.
To leave. And when the 49ers got rid of him, and it was just such an odd, weird situation.
Yeah.
And then he just goes to Dallas, and they're in the middle of negotiating with Dak Prescott.
For one of the biggest contracts ever.
It was just so bizarre. So I just don't know what to make of that whole scenario and how the team will react when he is under center.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The Dallas Cowboys are reality TV on a football field.
They
it's
are.
Just amazing what they're able to do there. But I do like Cooper Rush, and you know he's probably going to get the first two, maybe three series.
Yeah. No, I just think, just looking back to last year, they went 1-2 in the preseason, lost their first game 28-23, which would go over on that, and then their second game 22-14, and then their third game blew the Raiders out 31-16. So you can see that they do try to score points in the preseason.
Yeah.
They're not going to, crawl in there and try to run the ball, and even with their new guy Ezekiel Elliott, the new guy.
Yeah, the new guy, yeah. Zeke.
But no, I believe they got a lot of running backs that are trying to get snaps here. Obviously,
they do.
Going to try and take carries away from Zeke this year. So, no, I just believe the Cowboys are the betting should go all Cowboys and the over.
You know, Mike McCarthy, the head coach, catches a lot of flack, and I think a lot of that just comes with being the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. But he is a steady Eddie, and you mentioned how they're averaging around 22 points per preseason game.
Yeah.
You're probably going to see more of that. So that's going to put the bullseye right on that over there.
Yeah.
And the Rams, for all that they're lacking, they always have a shiny, fun offense.
Exactly.
You know?
McVay will be able to get Stenson in the end zone no matter what. Obviously, you're not going to see Cooper Kupp. You're not going to see Puka Nacua.
No.
You're just going to see, you know, that offense played as well as Stenson Bennett can carry him.
You know, and sometimes you hear the term pillow fight. Well, that's quite the pillow fight, you know, because they're just trading touchdowns.
Yeah.
Well, that's good for the over.
That's good for the over. 35.5 over in the Cowboys.
And the Cowboys with that 4.5. That doesn't scare you at all.
Doesn't scare me at all.
All righty. Well, I think we should take a minute to recognize one of our fabulous partners, and that is the Stock and Rod Company, an outdoor lifestyle brand for those seeking adventure. Whether it's hunting, fishing, hiking, they got you covered. Visit stockandrod.com to get your wild game on. Don't go anywhere. This is WTL.
Nebraska Public Media Sports brings you live all-day coverage of the NSAA High School Football Championships on Monday, November 24th and Tuesday, November 25th. Watch all day, both days, on Nebraska Public Media or live stream every game on Nebraska Public Media's YouTube channel.
And welcome back, everybody, to WTL, Where's the Line, Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm your host, Andy Glass, and joined by
Jabron.
Oh, the Parlay Pounder.
You got it. We're back.
And we were talking football. We talked some more football.
Yeah.
So I think it's only right that we talk more football.
There's going to be a lot more football at the end of the month here, and we got to start talking about it now.
That's what we got to do. We're getting into college football. We have some preliminary practice reports already coming out of Memorial Stadium for all the Husker fans out there that can't get enough. Unfortunately, some of that news wasn't good earlier this week.
Yeah.
Teddy Prochazka, the projected left tackle, went down a leg injury, season-ending leg injury. So that's just not the way you want
to start. Yeah.
And that's not the way, whether it's a returning starting quarterback or a
freshman.
Brand
new guy, Mahomes.
Mini Mahomes, you want your big left tackle in
there. You need that guy.
And you feel real bad for Teddy, you know, who's fought injuries before. This just doesn't look good.
It doesn't. And, your heart goes out to him because he was going to be one of the anchors of that offensive line.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to be a lot better this year, obviously, for Dylan.
Yeah.
And, he's going to be a big piece of it.
Well, and, we talked about the depth, or a lot of people are excited about the depth at offensive line that
Correct.
They have. Well, they're testing that right away.
Yep.
I'll tell you what didn't move. That was the betting line.
For sure not.
The Vegas got a hold of that news, and they just kept it right there at 27 points over UTEP.
27.5 points over UTEP.
Oh, so maybe it did move a half point.
Yeah.
But no, and I think a lot of folks are going to get on Nebraska for this because – we want to see offense and they want to see offense. So I wouldn't be surprised. 4 touchdowns right there, 28 points. I wouldn't be surprised for the Big Red to cover that.
Yeah, for sure, Andy. I think Matt Rhule's going to roll out this offense and kind of make a statement, Andy, and kind of really go at UTEP here. Not so much, run up the score intentionally on him, but we got to see. I think he wants us to see how good Dylan is, obviously, but the weapons around him and really booster that running back room with a lot of yards on the ground.
Yeah, so you got a whole stable of running backs that want to prove themselves that are hungry.
Yeah.
I think more of the same can be said for the quarterback, because let's just cut through it. Dylan's the starter.
For sure.
But you got to think Harburg is going to get a couple of he might get an entire quarter in. And if he does, he's going to want to prove himself. And he is a pretty good quarterback.
And he's going to get – touchdowns.
And he's going to get touchdowns.
Harburg will be in the end zone in this game for sure.
There we go. Yeah, I believe so too. He's too athletic, too good of a runner, and you know he's going to see the field.
Exactly.
So for all those reasons, I like Nebraska big. Big red at home. They're going to roll.
For sure. Yeah, I think they're going to roll. It's going to be a statement game for the Nebraska fans. To everybody get hyped, start drinking that Kool-Aid going into Colorado.
You mean the Rule-Aid, brah?
Rule-Aid!
Well, should we get into a couple more, maybe, let's say, competitive matchups?
Just some ranked, teams that are playing week one. This is so much fun when they roll out games like Andy, in week one. You know, it's a whole team. They're feeling it. You know, this is a do-or-die game week one.
I love the pressure that's built up, and Nebraska's had that the last few years.
Yeah, playing a Big Ten opponent in week one.
Yeah.
Obviously, you heard Rule talking about this earlier this month, just saying, you know, I'm glad that we're not doing that anymore. Not that he was scared of it. It puts a lot of pressure on the kids to not even compete. They got to win right away.
And I think most of that has to do with the first four games are all at home.
No doubt.
You don't have to start on the road, you know, in Minnesota or wherever. But right here, this is going to be a banger.
This is going to be awesome.
The Miami Hurricanes are a two-point favorite over the Florida Gators. So right away, you have the favorite to win the ACC and the Miami Hurricanes taking on the Florida Gators. You got that SEC.
ACC rivalry. In-state rivalry.
Ooh.
Who's the best team in Florida? Miami preseason number 19th in the nation. Florida did not make a ranking, which is odd. They got 11 votes to be in that coaches poll, but didn't make it onto the top 25, Andy. So as much people is like I'm hearing as Miami is this, you know, great team. They're going to be, you know, bring back the 90s and all that kind of stuff. Kind of like we're toting here in Nebraska. This is still going to mark Cam Ward's first start as Miami's new quarterback after transferring from Washington State. And it comes in one of the most rambunctious,
going to the swamp,
hard to play in stadiums in all of college football, Andy. They're going to SEC country, like you said, and this is one of the hardest. I like not only Florida to cover this spread, Andy. I like them to win this game outright.
Isn't Florida replacing a quarterback too?
They're doing the same thing.
But
as
I like
Miami's
quarterback a little bit better
I? He's a transfer, though. I'm not saying that it's a bad thing. I'm saying I'm taking the home team week one when they have the same intangibles, Andy.
Yeah.
I like Florida at home. I just think it's going to be too much for Cam Ward to come in here and just take the reins and beat an SEC school like this.
You know, the last seven times these teams have squared off, Miami's got the better of Florida. 5-2 record. And they also covered six times out of the last seven games against Florida. For those reasons alone, what have you done for me recently? What have you done for me over the last seven seasons? I like Miami, even though it's on the road, being on the first game of the year.
Yeah.
I think some of that's going to be masked a little bit. And also just being a cross-state rivalry.
Yeah.
I don't care where this game's played. Everybody's going to be hyped.
It's jacked up.
It's going to be jacked. Like
for sure, Andy. And like you said, it's stacked for Miami. On FanDuel, their win totals are set. Miami at 9.5, Florida at 5.5. Yep. Obviously, the league play goes a little bit in there.
Sure,
obviously, Miami playing the ACC, Florida and the SEC. But another reason for this, Andy, the Gators win total hovering around 5.5, like I just said. In Florida, that Billy Napier's, you know, trying to reach a bowl game in his third season, he has to reach this or he is going to be gone, Andy.
Yeah.
So I just think they're going to be jacked up for this game. I think it's a do or die time for Billy Napier. If he loses this game, it's very long
it's
shot.
It's going to be tough.
Very long shot, Andy, that they make this sixth game, you know, make a bowl game. If they don't win this game, I'm not saying that it's totally out of the question, but it'll be a bad look for the program and the momentum will be down right away for Florida. So I think they got to throw a huge first punch here week one, and that's why I'm going with the Gators.
Well, that's what they have to do, but that's what they haven't done over the last 3 years under Napier.
I gotcha.
So I like the Hurricanes.
I like Gainesville.
I mean, I hate the Hurricanes in real life, but on the betting but anyway. All right, should we talk about a night game?
Let's do it.
Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish.
Yeah.
7:30 kickoff versus the Texas A&M Aggies.
Yeah.
Notre Dame, the Golden Domers, ranked within the top 10 once again. And this line opened up January 8th at -3.
Yeah.
That it has tightened up since
tight,
then.
Tight.
And I think you're seeing a lot of Notre Dame money poured into it.
For sure.
Now I'm looking at a -1.5 consensus there. How are you feeling about this one?
Andy, I love this game for Texas A&M.
Oh, really?
I love I love Notre Dame being ranked so high right preseason. Put them in the top 10. Put them in the top 5. Rank them number 1. I don't care what you say. I will always be a hater against Notre Dame. I believe this season opener will be a heavily defensive battle here, Andy. Yeah. Both teams will be dealing with new offensive coordinators. Both teams have top-notch defense. So in my eyes, it's really anyone's game. And when that happens, Andy, I'm going to give the Aggies a slight edge due to home field advantage.
Well, you know, Notre Dame did go 5-1 ATS over the last 6 games. I know that was the last season. And Texas A&M has played through so much controversy, it seems like, every single year, regardless of who their head coach is. And they're 1-6-1 against the spread their last 8 games. So if I'm just looking at betting odds, Notre Dame has been the much safer bet.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, Andy, both new offensive coordinators on both sides, defensive battle, low-scoring event. Got to go with Aggieville there.
What do you got as a total over there? I'm not seeing one here.
No, they won't come out with those until the week. Or
I just got one at 47.
47.5. 47.5 is what it's kind of been pulling at. It'll probably stick around there, Andy. I believe the under is a great play here.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, Notre Dame's offense averaged 39 points last year. A&M's averaged 33.
It's crazy.
Notre Dame's defense is too good?
Well, and they just both went and got new offensive coordinators for some reason. Mm-hmm. Or they traded up or traded down or whatever.
Okay.
No, I just believe that first game of the season.
You're riding with the home team again.
Really, really home field advantage for Texas A&M. Again, one of the best places to play. I think Notre Dame is ranked too high. I'm going with Texas A&M.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, then let's talk about another overranked team then.
Yeah, let's do it.
Sunday night, September 1st, 7:30 kickoff. The USC Trojans.
Yeah.
Hailing out of the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Hailing on the LSU Tigers, talking a lot of SEC football. You got to talk SEC football. This game's going to be in Las Vegas, and there's been some bulletin board material that's been thrown out here the last couple of days, and that is Lincoln Riley and USC tried everything under the sun to get out of this game. Now they're trying to backwalk and say, no, we didn't.
No, we didn't. Well, we're the Big Ten.
What are all these emails that we've obtained? And then even there's even a squabble between networks here because Fox didn't. They're paying a lot of money.
For sure.
You know,
it's a big game.
Covering the Big Ten.
Yeah.
And now they got to split this money and give it. And they're allowing one of their key brands to build up a team that's featured on ESPN Plus quite often in the LSU Tigers.
Yeah, Andy, this is just a crazy game with everything that you just said. You know, USC kind of looking like a dog, trying to back out of them, whimper away. But that's obviously the reason that LSU is a 6-point favorite in this game, Andy.
Yeah.
But the thing
no
that's,
Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
The no thing Caleb that, Williams.
No Sam Darnold. No John David Booty.
Booty. He played for both teams.
Going back 20 years there. But no, Andy, I just think the thing that pops off the page to me, Andy, is I thought USC was in the Big Ten now. This over-under sitting at 62.5 reminds me of some Pac-12 stuff happening still.
I just
believe that this game is kind of going to be a shootout, and that 62.5 is going to be able to get there.
And I think making it a shootout is the USC's best chance of
winning. Best chance
it's
of playing
best
with
them. Best chance of hanging in this one, don't you think?
I really do, Andy. And I know that it might sound like a bold prediction that LSU 6 points over USC, considering the Tigers will feature a new starting quarterback, massive changes on defense this season. Conversely, Lincoln Riley's team has experienced the same dynamic on the West Coast. So,
a lot of new faces, a lot of new names.
Yeah. Vegas is telling fans it views Brian Kelly's roster as more talented bunch, and I believe that is true.
Yeah.
I believe LSU kind of wins in a romp here. Over a touchdown.
Tigers probably going to roll. They do look to have a much, much deeper, complete roster, we'll say, up and down.
Yeah, and this is going to be such a fun game because it's on Sunday. It's after the first slate of games.
Yep.
It's at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas, NFL
kickoff
Pro
Classic.
Stadium.
The Modelo kickoff classic.
Exactly. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I just believe that the SEC is going to get a leg up on the Big Ten right away.
Yep. Well, that'll do it for us this week. Be sure to follow us on ESPN Tri-City Radio and their Facebook page. And then on formerly known as Twitter, X. We always come out with some short videos there. And if you haven't already, check us out on YouTube. Maybe give us a like or a subscribe. You know, yep. However you're feeling, whichever one you're feeling, I'll take either one there. And then, Jabron, you're holding down the old TikTok, aren't you?
Yes, at WTL Sports Betting, coming out with daily picks and parlays before big events.
There we go. For Jabron, the Parlay Pounder, I'm Andy Klassen. Thank you for listening. This has been WTL.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
This episode is presented by State Farm. Having insurance isn't the same as having State Farm. It's like needing the protection of an offensive guard on the football field, but getting an elementary school crossing guard. Sure, they're both guards, but you can only trust one to keep your quarterback safe when the game is on the line. So don't settle for just any insurance when there's State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And welcome back, everybody, to WTL, Where's the Line, Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm yours, Andy Klassen, joined by
Jabron.
Oh, the Parlay Pounder.
You got it. We're back.
Mm-hmm. And we had fun with some NFL lines.
Yeah.
Good to talk football.
It is. We're
good
back.
Good to talk football.
We are back.
And now we got to get back.
Yeah.
To the UFC.
No doubt about it.
Fight night at the Apex, Las Vegas. Have you ever been to the Apex?
No, I've been to T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, never to the Apex.
I got to get over there.
I would love to.
We got an invitation from one of our buddies out there.
Yeah.
I just got to take him up on that, and it's there, it seems like, every other weekend.
Yeah, no, it is. The fight nights are anyways, That'll be a lot of fun, for sure.
Catch a fight night, maybe watch a couple practices throughout the week. I just think that would be awesome.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right, well, they got a pretty good card here for fight night, and that's why we got to talk about it. And let's start in the women's bantamweight on the main card. We got a couple of ranked opponents here.
Right.
Yana Santos out of Russia versus Chelsea Chandler.
Yeah.
She is your 14th ranked overall contender in the bantamweight, but she's your 120 underdog, plus 120 dog.
Yeah. This fight pits a fighter who's just starting her journey in the octagon against one, truth be told, is probably staring at the end of hers.
Santos
has not won a fight since 2021 now. Mm. And while Foxy did look good in, you know, that win over Ketlin Vera, it's now 3 years ago. That happened 3 years ago. She lost three in a row since, and while she has only been finished once, she definitely appears to have really slowed down. Chandler, on the other hand, fell to Dumont in 2023, but it remains her only octagon loss, and it was a relatively close fight. So I still like the trajectory of Chandler, obviously.
You like the youngster from the United States.
Yeah.
I mean, she only has, seven UFC fights under her belt here?
MMA fights. But, she's a good fighter, a heavy grappler with a, you know, strong top game, but she does have a couple issues. First, she's very hittable on feet, and second, she struggled to reach the 135 bantamweight mark before, so we got to look out for that at the end of this week here if she makes weight.
Yeah.
Overall, then, if Santos is coming to, you know, end of her time.
Yeah.
She does have the right kind of style here to get past Chandler. This is the kind of the fight that she would want to go out on, is just knocking this chick out. If she can stay off her back for long enough, she should be able to put together enough, you know, combinations to win. I really do believe that Santos is going to knock her out. So
really?
I'm flip-flopping a little bit, but I'm not flip-flopping. I always had Santos. She is favored for a reason, just because I believe Chandler's going to have a hard time getting her to the ground.
Yeah.
And like I said, she has a lot of open holes when they're standing and exchanging, and Santos can put her lights out.
Yeah, and we've seen it impact fighters, and I bet it impacts women fighters maybe a little bit more when they got to cut so much weight. She's 2 inches taller.
Yeah, yeah.
Chandler is than Santos. So Santos, and she's been around the block. You know, we're not calling her old, but she's old. She's much older.
She's much older.
And she's been in the octagon a lot longer than Chandler here.
So, no doubt.
This will be a very interesting matchup here. You know, can Chandler continue to ascend, Or will Santos be able to foil that? I mean, like you said, she is a favorite for a reason. It might be that striking ability, as you alluded to.
I do believe that's what's going to happen. I would like to see Chelsea win, obviously, the American, prolong her career, get her career started by, beating a seasoned vet like this. I just don't believe this is a good spot for her.
Okay. All right, should we move on up the card?
Let's do it.
All right, featherweight bout here. Damon Jackson.
Yeah, versus the leech.
The leech versus Stipe Marsacal.
Yeah.
Marsacal, big favorite, minus 230.
Yeah, Andy, this is another fun one. I do like the leech. It might just because of that really good nickname there. But this bout was not initially planned to act as the co-headliner on this card, but it's a solid enough fight and should provide some decent action, Andy. Yeah.
Neither one of these guys are currently ranked.
Exactly.
In the featherweight class.
His second run in the UFC, Damon Jackson has quietly became a solid contender at featherweight. Even if it feels unlikely, he'll crack the top 15 in the future.
Mm-hmm.
The leech has put together a strong record of 6-3. He's beaten some good fighters in Bektik, Pat Sabonati, and Alexander Hernandez. Still a grappler at heart, Jackson is a willing striker, but has shown issues with his chin. So this guy can get knocked out.
He's a wrestler, right? He's a college wrestler.
He's right. This issue could be well give Stipe some confidence. Machine Gun has quickly built a reputation as a hard-hitting brawler over the course of his 3 octagon bouts, most recently out-dueling Morgan Chaire in an impressive showing. So I really like Stipe here. I'm going against the American here. I just believe he's going to try and exchange too much for him, and Stipe has that knockout power.
Exactly. Marsacal wins about 40% of his fights with that KO, TKO, and Damon Jackson's 17%. So
for sure,
he is not a KO guy at all. And Marsacal knows that. He's going to stay on his feet.
He really is.
He's not going to
And like I said, Damon Jackson, he has a good enough stand-up game that I believe that he's going to think that he can stay with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I just believe Jose probably has a better game plan in that knockout power. So I might look later down the week and see if I can get a knockout prop with Jose. I think that's probably how this fight will end.
Old Stipe, Marsacal, it does, man, everything's kind of trending that way. When you start seeing the discrepancy in some of these next-level stats, the power, the significant striking ability, all kind of shades towards Marsacal here in this featherweight.
No doubt.
All righty, should we move
on? Sorry, Leech.
Leech, that's a fun nickname, though. It's a very fun nickname.
He hangs around.
Might
not for this one, though.
All right, should we move up to the headline?
Yeah, the polar bear.
The heavyweight bout versus 2 ranked opponents here. Marcin Tybura out of Poland, big fella, 6'3", 260.
Yep.
Sergey Spivak out of Moldova. He's your number 9 ranked here. And, the UFC website right now currently took down their odds. What are they feeling like? It's going to be a toss-up?
Well, it's pretty close. Last I saw in DraftKings was Sergey Spivak is a minus 150 favorite over Tybura.
All right.
Neither of these have the biggest name value right now, but like you said, they're both ranked in the top 10 at heavyweight. Tybura sits at 8, Spivak at 9, the polar bear. But both men have lost enough time to be considered, gatekeepers rather than contenders. They're just sitting there in that spot.
Sergey's only lost 3 fights officially.
Exactly. You know? But it just seems like they haven't fought enough to sit there in the top. They just don't have a lot of heavyweight fighters, on the roster. So, secondly, we've already seen the fight once back in 2020 before COVID-19. To be frank, it was hardly a barn burner. Buried deep on the preliminary card, the fight started relatively well with both men landing big punches, but quickly slowed down as both men became tired. Eventually, the fight simply saw Tybura outpower the smaller Spivak and beat him down on the ground for a decision. Has anything changed coming into this fight?
Yes, Spivak is 10 pounds heavier now.
Okay.
He put on some weight, the old polar bear, and he looks like, he looks like a bald polar bear.
He does, yeah. I really think that the polar bear will snack on fighters who lack defense on the ground, like Greg Hardy and even Derek Lewis, the Black Beast, and he'll find his way to bully smaller opponents. But however, unlike his nickname, Moldova isn't a heavyweight division biggest predator. He's probably outweighed Tybura here, but his frame isn't as big, and he's not as naturally as powerful as Tybura. I like Tybura in this one. He's beat him once before,
like,
and I think he's going to do it again. So Tybura has always been a solid fighter whose lone problem is basically his lack of natural athleticism.
Yeah, and his striking, his striking ability plays into that.
Yeah, he isn't outright biggest heavyweight, but he has a large frame, like I said, allows him to be effective with thudding strikes, but both standing on the ground. So I like Tybura. I think he's just kind of a weird matchup for the polar bear, and I think he's going to get him again. So I like that plus money, Andy. Tybura, I think he might get a KO on him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to check out that line a little closer to fight night.
Yeah.
When it does come around to get the best odds for that.
For my favorite odd for this fight, Andy, is under the 3.5 rounds. It's sitting at a -110 right now. Under 3.5 rounds, which either way this goes, I believe it's a knockout. Like I said, these guys got tired early, so they're going to come out swinging again, trying to end this fight before they get to round three.
Right.
So I believe it could be a first-round knockout either way, but I'm going with Tybura in that under 3.5 rounds.
Under three? So, I mean, that's going to be a submission or a KO, and it's got to be the KO.
It's got to be a KO.
Right.
Like I said, these guys will trade shots on the ground, but I just believe Tybura just a little too weird for Sergey to really get a lock on him. So I believe Tybura is going to knock him out in before round three.
All righty, Mr. Parlay Pounder.
Yeah.
You got to have a parlay play.
I do, Andy. And it's what I just said, the under 3.5 rounds on Tybura and the polar bear. Then I'm putting Jose Marsicol at a -230 in there. And then I'm going with Santos, the women fighter that we talked about. Put all three of those together for a +348. Parlay, putting 25 on it for 112.
112, and you only got one plus money.
No leg. Plus money.
No plus money?
No, because I'm not picking Tybura or Spivak. I'm
just
doing
under
the
three.
Under.
You're
the
just under
three,
three
and a half.
Okay.
So the under 3.5 in Tybura,
like
Spivak is -120. Jose Marsicol is -230. And then Yana Santos is -142. Put all together, +348. $25 on it to win 112.
I like that.
Yeah.
See, all you got to do is put a few, you know, minus money bets together to turn that into plus money. So, you know, two wrongs don't make a – well, three wrongs or three negatives make a plus. So,
three rights make a bigger right. Yeah, that's what we're
going
to say.
Is that how we're going
to – That's how we're
going
to do it.
Well, let's take a minute to recognize one of our fabulous partners, and that is the Nebraska Brewing Company. We've been enjoying the beer box, 12-pack box that they unveiled a couple years ago that feature their four core brews.
Yeah.
And you get three cans of each one, an IPA, a Pilsner, Pale Ale, and a Hefeweizen.
It's the best.
It is the best. You can't be... Football season's come around. You got UFC every weekend. It's just something good to have in
four the four styles, three cans each.
There you go.
Something for everybody in this box.
Nebraska Brewing Company, world-class in every glass. Don't go anywhere. This is WTL.
Nebraska Public Media Sports brings you live all-day coverage of the NSAA High School Football Championships on Monday, November 24th and Tuesday, November 25th. Watch all day, both days, on Nebraska Public Media or live stream every game on Nebraska Public Media's YouTube channel.